That's awesome. That was not just for just a few of us. It was for all of us, Lord. And yes. God, what a blessing that was. And we thank you for bringing us all together here today. That we just love one another, Lord, because you say we do. God is love. God lives in us. And so we love because he first loved us. And so we thank you for that. We thank you, for God, for your peace that passes all understanding today and in our lives, because we need that. That's actually the kingdom of God, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we thank you for that, Father, and we just love you. Today, we thank you that your word never returns void. Everything Lori shared, everything David shared, all the testimonies, what Jeff shared, will not return void. Because it's just your word. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I was here praying, and it's kind of neat having a little church like this, because you know everybody's name and you know everybody's face. Gosh, I must have a sore throat myself. But anyway, so when I was praying, I could just picture where, because everybody sits in the same place. It's amazing. I don't know how you figure out, though. I mean, even me and I, it's just like habit, I guess. So I know everybody's face. So I think it's really neat that I can picture everybody here and pray for them. And even Jackie and Joy, everybody, and Walter. And I can see Walter sitting there with his wife, and, you know, the Pipers and the Gibsons and the Floods, and everybody's sitting there, Norman in the back. And I'm like, man. It's so easy, but if we get too many people in here, we won't be able to do that anymore. So we got to keep things small. Well, really, what God's I had to kind of have a confession to make, because you guys all know me. I know some of you really well. Sometimes I can be pretty cavalier about things. Anyway. So anyway, this morning I kind of went through the same thing Lori went through. Was, you know, God really convicted me that was something that he was working on. So I said, I was just talking to the Lord about it. I said, well, then you have to work on it, because I can't help you in that area. If I have pride or whatever God's dealing with me with, I can't fix it. I was like, kind of like Lori was. I'm just going to worship you and thank you for showing me, and I'm just going to believe that you're working on it, because I can't change it. I can't help myself. That's why we need Jesus every day, because he does all that. It's his job, if you want to put it that way. He takes care of us. He took all your sin, and he got rid of it. All the handwriting on the wall that was against you, he took that out of the way. So you have no condemnation. That means you have no judgment. You've already been judged. Did you know that? When you give your life to the Lord, you're judged right there on the spot, and you've been found clean because he took all your sin. He wiped you white as snow. And now he's just sanctifying us, because in Ephesians, when it says you're saved, it says you're being saved. When it says you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're continually being full of the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous thing. It's not just one time I got saved, one time I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues or something, but no, it's every day. So you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're being saved. Not justified. You're already justified. You're being sanctified. So it's a continuous process, a continuous work, which I think is awesome, because he promised he would begin a good work in us. He'll do it till the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, I want to share something today that is so amazing, and I'm going to be pretty quick because I know people aren't feeling good today. In Isaiah, I'm going to start in Isaiah because he's my favorite prophet. I just like his name, actually. No, I'm just kidding. I like Isaiah. He's awesome. Isaiah 32. Today I want to talk about peace. Whenever you read about righteousness in the Bible, almost everywhere in the Bible you read about righteousness. Even in Hebrews, when it talks about Melchizedek, Melchizedek was the king of righteousness. He was also the king of Salem, which is interpreted peace. So wherever you see righteousness in the Bible, there's always peace. And you cannot understand peace because it passes all understanding. You can't understand peace. You'll never figure it out with your brain. You'll never figure it out, you know, by reading the Bible or anything. It just passes all understanding. You're never going to understand it. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll understand it. But peace is something God gives you as a gift. It's a part of the kingdom of God. And it comes by righteousness. In Psalms 85, it says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It means they're connected. If you have righteousness, you have peace. If you don't have righteousness, you don't have peace. And you can even see that in little kids. When little kids are bad and they're never corrected, you know, and they just become wild and they're spoiled and they have no peace because they've never been corrected. They've never been chastised. When God chastises us, it's for our good. And it always brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. So righteousness and peace are intimately connected because they're both Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Melchizedek. And also, he is the King of Righteousness. He is righteous. He is our righteousness. So you have no other righteousness apart from Jesus. So if you have Jesus, you have righteousness. And if you have righteousness, you have peace. If you have peace, you have joy. Yeah. And it's all connected. It is not separate because they kissed each other. It's the same as truth and mercy have met together. It's in that same verse. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So all your, even though the Bible is true and the law is good, it's holy, it's true. But you have to mix mercy in there for equity, because if you don't, then you're going to be in trouble. Because the law will make nothing perfect. Nothing ever will be made perfect by the law. So only mercy, which I hope in. The Bible says, David said, God, I hope in your mercy. I love your law. I love it. I love the Bible. I love the law. I love, you know, all the things that the law does and says and all that. But nonetheless, yeah, I can't keep it. I can't, you know, sustain that. But God's mercy, now if truth and mercy have met together, then we got something. Because that's what I'm going to hope in, God's mercy. And then righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So righteousness and peace are totally, totally connected. So that's why the world has no peace. Remember the angels came before Jesus was, or when he was being born? He said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But that's talking about you as an individual. Peace on earth. That means God has no enmity against you. He's not mad. He's got total peace. Because he's going to give you a gift. Jesus is born. Okay, first time in the world, first time ever there was peace on earth when Jesus came. There was no peace in the Old Testament, none. Always warring. David was a man of, deliver me, Lord, from blood guiltness. He was a bloody guy. He killed people. Solomon, all of them were just, you know, it was crazy. And they had no peace in here, in the heart. I'm talking about in the heart. I'm not talking about out in the world. In the world, you have trouble. But the Bible says be a good cheer because you have peace in your heart. But I don't understand it. I have peace. It's not like peace like I'm going to go live out in the country and sit by the brook, that little brook, and be trees and a little nice little green field, and then I'll be peaceful. That's not the kind of peace it's talking about. That peace you can understand. I can understand that kind of peace, but this peace you cannot understand. It says you pray about everything, and it says in Philippians, and then God will give you the peace that passes all understanding. That means you can't intellectually, I looked it up, it means you cannot understand it intellectually, you cannot understand it psychologically, you cannot understand it in any way. So I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to receive it. God, your peace is awesome, and it is. Because no matter what you're going through, you're going to need peace. The thing that kills people while they're stressed out, while they're seeing psychiatrists and taking pills and trying to fix things on their own because they have no peace. But if you pray about it, if you pray, like Lori was saying in her testimony, if you pray about everything, excuse me, if you pray, then it's God's deal. It's not yours. You just got peace. You just gave him all your worries and all your cares and all your anxiety and all the stuff that you are worried about, and he gave you back righteousness and he gave you back peace. So you don't have to worry about anything. But you don't understand it. You're not going to figure it out. Well, how come I just prayed about it and all of a sudden I'm peaceful? It's like I gave it to the Lord and now I have so much peace in my heart. It's like shalom in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's another word, irene or something like that. But it means basically the same thing. It means prosperity. It means peace, you know, like you're at rest. That's why we enter into God's rest. And it's amazing. It's so good. It's so peaceful. It's so awesome that you don't understand it. Because you're looking at life from an eternal point of view. Whether you're sick or you have heart problems or foot problems, or you can still have peace. This weekend I was over at Larry's house and I was looking at something and I was backing up like this because we were looking at something and I hit there's a little something sticking out of the ground. Anyway, I fell. I never fell like this before in my life, I don't think. The wind hasn't been knocked out of me since I was probably in high school. But I fell backwards. I got a big scrape right here, but they ripped the pocket right off my jeans. But there was this board sticking out of the fence about this high, and I fell full weight on it and just, man, hit it just smack, and it just totally, I couldn't breathe. And Larry's going, Danny, you okay? And I go, I couldn't even talk. You know, when you get the wind knocked, if you ever had the wind knocked out, you can't talk. You can't even breathe. I was just looking at him like, oh, just a second. So I was on my knees, and I was like, it didn't hurt me. I have a bruise on my back, and it was bad. And then my neck started hurting. And I thought, man, I'm going to be. But I just got up after a couple of minutes, and he goes, oh, man, you okay? Man, if you would have fell off that wall, you'd be dead. You know, and all this stuff. I was, hey, thanks. So I just prayed real quick and I didn't even worry about it. Yeah, kind of hurt and everything. And then I went to bed and I thought, you know, because my neck really hurt bad. I thought, man, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I bet I'm going to be sore and all that. But I don't care. Who cares? But anyway, so I just prayed and went to bed and I woke up and I felt fine. And then I had a sore throat because I went to... This is so funny. I went to this place in Plano to get my yellow fever shot because we're going to Africa. So anyway, this lady was really nice, but she had this form she gave me and it had all this list of all these diseases I could get while I was there. You see malaria, then we got, you know, hepatitis A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then we got... Got blue fever, black fever. And plus animals. This animal could bite you. You're gonna get rabies. And I was just sitting there going, man. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't even want to go. I'd be like, oh my gosh. And then she said, and by the way, have a nice trip. No, that's exactly what she said. Then she turned this video on to distract me while she gave me a shot, but that didn't. I don't care about that. That stuff doesn't bother me. But you know, I got the shot and I left. I was like, they thought it was funny. That if you weren't a Christian, you'd think, oh my gosh, why would I want to go to Uganda? It's got every disease known to mankind, plus all these animals. I'm probably worse than Nigeria. But anyway, I have, you know, because God says go, then you just have peace. My wife has peace. Everybody, you know, it's just a peaceful thing. It's no big deal. And that's the way we live as Christians. You always walk in peace no matter what happens. And if you're not peaceful, you just cry out to God and he'll give it to you. But you're not going to understand it. That's what I'm trying to get to the point. You cannot understand God's peace. It's not understandable by the human mind, by the world. My peace I leave you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, or timid. So you have no reason to be timid. You have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be stressed out. You think you do, because you can think of a million things, right? Oh, my kids, you know, work, you know, relationships, my marriage, blah, blah. You know, you got so many things to worry about. You really don't. People worry for no, you worry. If you're a Christian, you worry for no reason. You're sinning. If you worry, if you're worried about something, you're sinning. It's a sin. It's evil. It's wicked.
Thank you.
Do not be worried. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. I'm just going to read a few scriptures about righteousness. If you, man, if you ever get a chance, which I know you guys do, guys, you'll have tons of scriptures. There is like a million scriptures about peace and righteousness, and they're all together. And I'm going to read a few of them. This one's really good in Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That's what righteousness is going to give me, peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Wow. Just that scripture alone is awesome. But there's like a billion other ones. Psalms, tons of them. Like I said, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They're totally, totally connected. You cannot have righteousness and not have peace. Sorry, you just can't. If you have righteousness, you're going to have peace. If you have peace, you're going to have righteousness. They're, because they're kissed. They kissed. It means they're connected. They're together. They're not going to be, you're not, you can't separate them anymore because they're married. And then truth and mercy have met together. They're together too. Those things are all together. You can't have one without the other, with the one without the other. They're all the same. Because righteousness, the reason why your righteousness is, gives you peace, this is, I think it's one reason why I don't even understand peace that well at all, like I just said. But when you, when you're righteous, you have no angst or no, you're not, you know, you're not unpeaceful or, you know, or anxious because, or have that, well, that thing that Jim always says about having a kind of an angst. You don't have that anymore. When I got saved, I didn't have that anymore. I didn't have those nightmares anymore. I didn't have those things that were not peaceful anymore. They all went away because I was righteous. Not because I was righteous, but because God just gave it to me as a gift for no reason. And I received it by faith. Mm-hmm. So if I have it by faith, I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, set me free from the law of sin and death. Then I'm not. Then I'm totally at peace with God. God's not mad at me. He loves me. He loves Lori. He obviously does because he did that for her. He does anyway. We know it anyway. So all the stuff that God gives us, especially peace, is the most important. Because without peace, peace, where there is no peace. But if you don't have peace, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be sick all the time. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be worried. You're going to be fearful. You're going to wonder what God's doing. What the heck is he doing, you know? But if you just pray about everything, everything. I mean, every little thing. I mean, everything. Anything you're thinking about that concerns you, pray about it. Don't pray about it. Just give it to God. If you think, you know, people are always asking me, like this guy, this friend of mine called me. I haven't seen him in 5 years. And he just lives in what? He lives pretty close, but he called me and he was, man, 3.5 hours. Okay, here's what I did. I'm so evil. Friday he called and I didn't pick up because first of all, I didn't know his number, so because I must have lost it when I lost my phone, but I didn't pick up because unless I know the person calling, I don't pick it up because it's usually a salesman or something. Anyway, so he left a message and I got the message and I thought, I'll call him tomorrow. Because it was rain. I was supposed to work yesterday, but it rained, so I didn't work. So I thought, well, I got time now. Because I knew it was going to be a long conversation. Because I know the guy, and he talks a lot. But so anyway, he called, and oh my gosh. It is amazing. The trials. I mean, I was practically in tears. The guy was telling me his life story for the last 5 years. I'm like, oh my gosh. I wanted to kill myself, actually. No, I didn't want to, but it was bad. But then, he had a testimony in there that through all that, you know, God showed him how much he loved him. And to get that, if you get that, guys, it's just such a revelation to know that God loves you. How wicked, if you're forgiven much, you love much. If you know how much you're forgiven and God still loves you, it's just like, it's devastating. I mean, it's devastating. And then peace comes, and then you're just like, man, I wasn't going to make it. I was so sinful and so wicked, and I didn't even know God. That's what he was telling me. He goes, I didn't even know God. People think I'm a Christian, but I don't even know God. But then God showed me, you know, all this, and this. And he went through some pretty devastating things, stuff that I would probably, you know, I would have killed myself probably. But, I mean, it was bad, really bad stuff. But he made it. And it was a miracle. And God, through all that suffering, set him free. Amen. You'll never know peace. That's another thing, unless you're, it says in Hebrews, if you're chastened of the Lord, you've got to be chastened to know this peace. Although you don't know it, you don't understand it, but you got to know it. Because it's Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Melchizedek, I think it's Hebrews chapter 8, says it. Melchizedek was king of righteousness. I believe Melchizedek was Jesus, or type of Jesus at least. If he was king of righteousness, but also the king of peace, Salem, which means peace. So he's the king of righteousness, and he's the king of peace, because they go together. All the scriptures, if you read all the scriptures in the Bible about peace, righteousness is right there within a few scriptures. So it's really interesting. Now this is one I read, 32 and then 8, verse 17, then 18 says, and my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation and a sure dwelling and in quiet resting places. So that is awesome. How peace is so connected. The Greek word is eirene, and it means basically the same thing as shalom. To join together, to make one. Because we have so much peace because we're one with God. He's our, like Larry always says, God's our very own father, and I'm his very own son. So if God is our very own Father, and Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, and we have the Holy Spirit, God's given us all those gifts. He himself. As a matter of fact, when you get to heaven, your exceedingly great reward is going to be God himself. Who cares about, I mean, people think, well, I'm going to have a mansion, or I'm going to have that pony I always wanted, that dog I always wanted, that car, man, that Mercedes or something. But those aren't the interesting things. The interesting thing is you're going to have God himself. He will dwell with you, it says in Revelations, and you will be his people, and he will be your God. And he will, you know, you're not, and it's going to be awesome. And we'll be his dwelling place. We'll be his house. That's what God's doing. He's building it. You're the house. You thought you'd have a mansion. You're the mansion. You're the house that he's building. That's even better. You don't understand that, and I don't understand that because it's a mystery, but we're the house. And Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Okay, so New Testament, we have scriptures too. We have 2 Peter 3:14, that we're going to be, we'll be found in peace. You know, Hebrews 2:11. I was telling you about that. Let's read that. That's a good one. But there's tons. I mean, there's like, I can't even read them all. It's just too much. You have to look it up yourself. But you can do, because I'm sure everybody here has their very own Bible, at least on your phone. Okay, 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. When you're getting a spanking, it's not, you know, it seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, peace and righteousness are right there together. They kissed each other right there. They kiss each other all over the scriptures. They're always kissing. That sounds bad, doesn't it? But it's really not. Unto them which are exercised thereby. So, in the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's your hope. That's your kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. But peace, like I said, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is your peace. He is your joy. He is your righteousness. But those two things, those three things actually, but those two things especially give you joy, but they're connected together. No righteousness, no peace. You just don't have it. The world has no peace, none. I don't care how much yoga they do, or how much they meditate, or how much they get rid of all their problems, or how good their health is or not, or whatever. They'll never have peace, ever. Not for eternity. But we have peace, we have eternal peace. We have peace that passes all understanding. I wish I could say something about peace more than that, but I don't even understand it myself. It's just like when you go through problems like I did, you know, like the yellow fever shot and all the things we go through and falling down. You can have peace through all that. That sounds like little things, but there's just a few things happened to me. A lot of things happen. Even in our political thing that's going on in the United States, all the, you know, the homosexuals and all this crazy stuff that's going on, we can have peace. And that's the only way you can operate. If you're not peaceful, then you will make stupid decisions. You will do dumb things. You will sin all over the place because you're not peaceful. And if you're under the law, if you get under a law or some kind of, like the Lord was saying about the vow, you know, a vow is a law. It's an element of the world. If I make a vow to myself, I'll never do that. Or I'll never like that person. I hate them or whatever. You just made a thing. Now you got to keep that law because you just made it. Now you're under pressure. Now you got to do it. Even God's law. If you imagine you can do that, then you're under some kind of pressure. You don't have any peace because you're trying to get righteousness. Like the Jews, Paul said, they're trying to create their own righteousness. Well, if you do that, you know, alcoholics do that all the time. Drug addicts, people like that, they're under extreme pressure. That's why they drink. That's why that guy was out on our steps over there. I went and talked to him. His name's James something. But anyway, because he's, you know, he was under the law and he failed. So now he's living in the street because, you know, he hates himself. He hates other people too because he couldn't never keep the law. He never kept his own thing. So now he's stressed out and he's under pressure. So he just, you know, dropped out of society. People do it all the time. I tell you, you know, I was talking to somebody about this because Lee and I used to work at Lena Pope Home and we'd have to go to the, what was that place Leah called? Where all the crazy people went? Shouldn't say that, but all the people that had problems. Some kind of psychological ward, psych ward. I think that's what it was called, whatever it was called. But anyway, it was down here, pretty close here, but some of our girls ended up there because they live with me. No. But we'd go there, and most of the people there were crazy, but they were religiously crazy. I mean, they knew the Bible, and they had, and even I have a friend who has a mom that's in a memory care place, and she's just yelling at people, you know, casting demons out of them, no matter who they are, walking. I mean, she's just crazy. And not that you can't do that, but I'm just saying this is, religion drives people crazy. And then they have no peace. They have no joy. They don't have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So they hate everybody. They hate themselves. They hate everybody else. They hate God because God's too much. I mean, it's too much. When I first got saved, I had a couple of years there where I was totally in love with Jesus. But then slowly I began to hate God. I'm just telling you my own story. Because until he showed me something one day, then I got set free, but I hated him because he was just too much. Too many laws, too many being good, and I couldn't do any of it. And neither can you, but I never did get it. The thing that, you know, I didn't understand grace because I grew up Catholic, so I was under stress all the time for a while there. I was just always anxious and fearful because I couldn't keep all the deals. I mean, I didn't know Protestants had so many stinking rules. Dress a certain way, you had to, man, if you didn't pay 10% of your tithe, you were going to hell. And I mean, I just couldn't get it all. I was too much. And I had to give all my stuff away because the Bible said, you know, you have to give your stuff to the poor. So I gave all my stuff to the poor. And by the time you do all that and then you're still not happy, you're like, man, what is the deal? This is, God is, I hate you, God. You are evil. Why I can't do all this. This is ridiculous. People think I'm stupid anyway. Now they really think I'm stupid. I gave away all my stuff. I'm basically living in poverty now. And thanks. Awesome. But then one day this guy came and preached it. I probably told you this story. He came and preached at the church, and he was talking about, you know, you're going to prosper as your soul prospers. And here I'm broke. I had nothing. I just gave it all away. Gave all my money away. Gave my really nice, this really awesome bicycle. It was a Trek 1000. It was a racing bike. I loved that bike, but I had to get rid of it because, you know, God said you can't have an idol. So I got rid of it. Gave away all my running shoes. I quit running. I was a marathon runner. I gave away all my running shoes. You could see street people walking down the street with all my clothes on. Hey, that guy has my shoes on. I forgot my point. That was pretty funny. But okay, so I was mowing this lawn, and lawnmower flipped over. I was at the church, actually. I was actually working at the church. And it flipped over, and man, I had enough. And I just remember that message on Sunday about I'm not prospering. My soul is, I'm a heathen, basically. I'm no good because I'm not prospering. I thought, because according to the prosperity message, if you weren't prospering, you were nothing. You were nothing. So I was ticked, man. And that lawnmower flipped over. And man, I never, even when I was in the world, I never cussed as much as I did. It just all came out. I was telling God how much I hated him, and just vile, wicked, evil stuff was coming out of my mouth. And then, I got about to cry if I say this, but, and then God, God just showed me how much he loved me, and I couldn't believe it. And just this peace, you know, came all over me, and I just couldn't believe it. Because I just got down cussing them out and calling them all kinds of names and hating them and despising them as much as you could. I would have killed them. If God was there, I would have killed them if I could. Can't kill God, but unless Jesus already died. So anyway, and then it totally changed my life. I've never been the same since. And, you know, I'm not big on always having experiences and stuff like that, but you do. You go for a while in your life, and you're getting to know God, and then something will happen in your life, like Lori, what she just testified, and then you'll have an experience, and it'll totally change your life. And I go, and I don't even live by experience. I'm just reading the Word and living my life. But God always brings trials along in your life, sickness. And I don't know if he brings sickness, but whatever your theology is and all that. But things happen in your life just naturally. The life, your life is meant to drive you to Jesus. Your marriage, my marriage is meant to drive me to Jesus. I have, you know, people that I'm responsible, you know, Leah's mom and dad live with us, and I have kids, and I have all this stuff that I'm responsible for, but I can't do it. It's too much. I mean, it's just too much. It's too much for my wife. So we just have to trust the Lord, right? Yeah. And I have to pray. I just pray. Every day, I just pray and go, God, take care of it. I'm going to work. Lee, you take care of it too. No, but I'm just going, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying I'm praying about it every day, because every day. And then peace comes, and I know he's going to be taken care of. Lee and I always have, because the way my job goes, I get checks at such weird times. Like, I don't get a regular paycheck because I have my own business. So I get these, I do these invoices, and then they send me the money whenever they feel like it, which isn't always on time. So I'm always praying, God, where's my money? You know, we got to pay our mortgage. Where's the check at? But man, doesn't it, Leah? It just always comes. Like, right, it's never like a couple of days early. It's always that day. Like, this happened last week. I was going, God, we got to pay mortgage and, I don't know, something else, taxes. But I have the money, but it's got to get here somehow. I don't want, can't use this, and don't want to use the emergency fund or anything like that. So you got to come through. Like Walter always says, you got to come through, God, like right now. Right now. But he does. I'm so shocked every time. I mean, every time I doubt him and every time he comes through, and I'm like, God, you are so good. So I learned that if you pray about everything, like it says in Philippians, let's read that. But it says in Philippians, if you pray about everything, then you don't have to worry about it, then you have peace. Peace is what you want. You just have to have it. As a Christian, you just won't survive without peace. You just won't. I'm telling you, you won't. And just because you don't understand it, just because you don't think about it at all, probably, you still have to have it. I'm telling you, Jesus came and the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You got to have that. And you got to believe that God loves you no matter what, unconditionally, even if you cuss him out, even if you're mad, even if you hate him, which you do. Everybody hates God at some point because you didn't answer your prayer. or you're not growing fast enough, or somebody got promoted above you, or whatever the thing is that you're going through, and you gotta deal with it. You gotta talk to God, like Lori said. You gotta come to God just as you are, boldly to the throne of grace. And I was bold. I was cussing the guy out. I was hating him. I was calling him all kinds of names and saying you. I just was mad. But then, after all that happened, God's probably like, finally, he's admitting I was no good. I was worse than an infidel. That's what I felt like. And then God just poured I can't even explain it. He just poured his spirit out on me and forgave me and then gave me peace that passes on. And I was okay. I picked the lawnmower up and I just kept mowing along. I was happy. It was awesome. Then I didn't care about anything. I had no cares. That was the one thing I needed to do, and I never knew it. And I had no cares. Not one. I had no care. I didn't care if I ever tithed again, or if I ever did any of those religious things. I didn't care about them. I didn't care about. I didn't care if I ever became a minister or not a minister or anything. I just knew God loved me. I couldn't believe it. After all I did, after despising him and hating him, he still loved me. Okay, I'm gonna Philippians chapter 4. Man, my Bibles are all falling apart. So at Christmas, I think I need to get some Bibles from the kids. Man, Philippians just goes so fast. It's such a little book. Philippians chapter 4, it's verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts in your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have peace with God, which you do, because it's a gift. It's just a gift. All this I'm talking about is just a gift. If it wasn't, God would have struck me with lightning right there, or the lawnmower would have fell on me and cut me to pieces or something. Bad would have happened. I'm just kidding, but God does, but he loved me. I couldn't believe it. And peace that passes all understanding was in my heart. And it wasn't a minute before that. I didn't have any peace. I was stressed. I couldn't function hardly because I was under so much religious pressure to be good or something. So I had to let God have it. I I couldn't help it anymore. I just, because he wasn't good at that moment. To me, he wasn't. He wasn't good. He was an evil taskmaster. He was trying to get me to do all this stuff I couldn't do. And here's what I was thinking. I said, why can't these other people do it? They all seem to be happy and prospering and, you know, all happy and, you know, and you're doing, blessing them and all that. And here I am. I'm out here, you know, don't have anything. I'm, you know, I have no clothes. I have no shoes because all the street people were wearing them. I have nothing. Don't even have a, I mean, nothing. But anyway, and God, man, it was just, I can't even describe to you how awesome it was to get to know that God loves me and give me peace. Because that was my prayer. As bad as it was, that was what I was, that's my junk. When you come boldly to the throne of grace, you release to God all your junk. God, here's the table set before me. Okay, the Jesus, just imagine Jesus sitting in the judge's seat or whatever, loving you and everything, and you come boldly to the throne of grace. Say, God, here's my pride, here's my lust, here's my debauchery, here's my envy, jealousy, here's my fear, here's my unbelief, here's my doubt, here's all the stuff I got for you today. What do you think? You know, and God's like, wow, thanks. No. But he will, he'll take it all. He'll take it and he'll give you his righteousness. And all you got to do is bring it to the table. But Christians won't do that because of their pride, because of their arrogance. They won't do that because they're too good. If I did that, oh my gosh, I'd be admitting that I'm a sinner. Well, it's too bad. That's the only way you can come. If you don't come like that, then you're lost. If you're coming to God cleaned up, oh God, I just got rid of that, you know, whatever. You know, you're trying to clean up before you come into the throne of grace, then you've missed it. You've already, then God won't even meet you because you're already righteous. You're already good. Why does Jesus want to talk to you? If you're all righteous and everything, you're perfect and you're awesome, but you're not. Just come like I did. Not quite that violent, but you come, and it's, I do that every day. God, here's my life, you know, kerplunk, and it's awful. I'd like to exchange that today for your life. And he's fine with that. That's what he wants. His life for your life. You lose your life, and you gain his life. So I'm just, that's the only reason why I come to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm just giving him all my stuff. I'm exchanging all my unpeacefulness, my anxieties, my fears, all my sin, everything that I have. I'm just giving it to God every day. And then he gives me back his life. Wow, that's awesome. Because his life is perfect. His life is, man, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I am. I'm happy all the time, but not because I'm good, because I know, man, God has forgiven me. And I know that just like that prostitute, you know, she loved Jesus because she was forgiven much. And you don't have to be a prostitute. You don't have to be like I was. You don't have to be like anything. Just be who you are. And you don't have to, just realize that when you see Jesus every day, that you're going to be convicted of your sin. And it's a blessing. God, I love that title of that book. That's exactly how it is. When you know how wicked you are and how vile you are, and Jesus still loves you, you're like, man, you're excited. Every morning, this is what I do. I go for God's mercy every morning. I don't ever pray. I don't ever pray for other people. I don't do anything until I got to know God. Because I just woke up. I'm already, you know, I've sinned like 10 times from the bed to the bathroom. So I'm like, God, do you still love me? Yep. Do you, man, I'm going for your mercy. Because you said, I declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So at night I wanted to say, God, you were so faithful. You kept me all day. I can't believe I'm still alive. I can't believe I didn't fall off that wall, Larry. Can't believe I didn't get hit by that truck. I can't believe that I didn't have a heart attack. I can't believe I didn't. Man, you kept me all day. You kept me from, you know, all kinds of stuff. I love you, Jesus. But in the morning, I'm declaring His loving kindness, His mercy. His mercies are new every morning, so I'm declaring His mercy. I don't care what you do, but man, God, I got to have His mercy. I got to have His grace. The only way I can overcome sin, the only way I can walk with Him is that way. If there's any other way you could do it, I don't know what it is. But then God gives you all of His peace, His righteousness, His peace, His joy, and that's the kingdom of God. And that's all you have to worry about. Don't worry about that either, but don't worry about anything. Don't worry about what the government's doing. People are all freaked out all the time about everything, but you can't do that. You got to be concerned and do your thing. Like a couple years ago, I was a delegate to the Republican Party and all that stuff. But, you know, it just is a lot of sitting around, isn't it, Jeff? You sit for 8 hours and you vote and then you go home. It's really extremely boring. And I hated it. And all people are arguing about marijuana and all kinds of stuff. And you're like, it's just crazy. Isn't it, Norman? It's crazy. It's like, I was shocked. I go, this is our political system? We are in trouble. I thought the church was bad. No, it is bad. It was bad. But anyway, all those things, you just have to pray. God, and I pray about it. I pray for Trump. I pray for all the liberals. I pray for Hillary and Obama. I always prayed for Obama. I always prayed for a lot of people. I pray him to get saved and to bless them and help them. And, you know, I pray for everybody because I don't want to worry about them. They do what they do. That's God's problem. Beto and the church, even. I pray for the church. I pray for leaders in the church and ministers. You pray for everything. You got to pray for everything. Then you don't have to worry about it. Even your own sin and all. You just got to cast all that on the Lord. He takes care of your kids. That's a big one. Your family, your fathers, your mothers, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, all those people you worry about and are, oh my gosh, are they going to heaven? Or I don't know. You know, they say they're Christians, but they, you know, my nephew's a homosexual and I don't know what's going on. You just got to pray about all that stuff. Give it all to God. Let Him do it. And then you just speak the word. It's not easy, but it is kind of in a way. But when I go visit some of my relatives up in St. Louis, sometimes I say some things about, you know, the Bible and all that, and then they get mad at me. But that's okay. At least it gets them thinking. But I'm not being derogatory or anything. I mean, I'm being really kind and everything, but it's still, you know, you just can't worry about stuff. You just got to say it and then let it go. And that's it. That's all you can do. But don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, drink, what you'll do, what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will give you everything, and you just walk in peace. But just go for peace, man. Don't go for all that other stuff. If you go for the law, if you go for being good is just idolatry. It's just a form of idolatry. I'd rather know Jesus than to be good. I don't care about being good. Never did. Well, I did until that moment I was knocked that lawnmower over. Then I didn't care ever again about being good. Don't care about it. Don't want it. Don't even think. I don't want to be moral. I don't want to be anything. I just want to know Jesus. And He takes care of all that. So you don't have to have any worries. Just give it all to Jesus. Like my throat. I need to give it to Jesus. All right. Anyway, I hope you're blessed. The testimonies were awesome this morning. It's good to see everybody. When you show up, it's a blessing. I'm telling you, you don't have to say anything. You don't even have to even smile. But when you show up, it's a blessing for everybody. I'm glad Lori came, and I'm glad Louise came, even though they didn't want to, and Titus came. He didn't want to come either, obviously. But, you know, you come, and it's just a blessing to see everybody, and it does something. God loves it. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this, your word. Thank you for the testimonies today. What a blessing, Father, to see how you're working in people's lives. It's an encouragement to all of us because we overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimonies, and we loved not our life even unto death, and we don't. And thank you, Father, we cast all our cares on you, every one of them. Political, family, spouses, money, our own lives, our own sin, who cares? We cast it all on you, Father, and you got to deal with it because you're God. You're the only one that can do it. Your right arm hath gotten us the victory. So our victory, faith is our victory. That overcomes the world, even our faith. So we thank you for that, and we love you. And we thank you for healing everybody. Walter's legs, Father, we're just still praying for his feet that are healed, that Louise, her heart, would go totally back to normal. And Lord, that Lori's physical things, you take care of it. And so we don't have to worry about it. And everybody else here who has a physical problem or anything, mental or anything, doesn't matter. We give it to you and we think you're taking care of it, so we don't have to worry about it or think about it or be stressed out about it. We give it all to you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.